Welcome to another edition of the Exo News Bulletin Podcast, where we present the audio version of bullet points posted on the exonews.org website, summarizing a recent UFO or extraterrestrial-related internet article. I'm Duke Brickhouse, Chief Editor of the Exo News. Be sure to like the show, subscribe, comment, and share. Today's article is from February 9th, 2020, entitled Space Force. What will the newest military branch actually do? It was written by Leonard David and originally posted on the space.com website. For a link to the original article, visit exonews.org. In December 2019, President Trump established the Space Force as a separate military branch. Space Force's first Chief of Space Operations, General John J. Raymond, says that the new branch will be a technology-focused service. Officially, Space Force is designed to help protect the interests of the United States in space, deter aggression in the final frontier, and conduct prompt and sustained space operations. This effort was sparked by the increasing space ambitions of multiple countries, especially China and Russia. Last month, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper said, "It's just been recently that both China and Russia pushed us to the point where space has now become a warfighting domain. It's important not just to our security, but to our commerce, our way of life, that we're prepared to defend ourselves and preserve space." Joan Johnson Fries, a professor of national security affairs at the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island, believes that a flippant remark made by Trump in a March 2018 speech led to a space force to support the U.S. Air Force's Space Command. Whether it will evolve into an organization that solves any of the problems that prompted it remains to be seen, says Johnson Fries. It certainly increases the perception that the U.S. is leading the way on the weaponization of space. Teresa Hitchens, the space and air reporter at the online magazine Breaking Defense, and a former senior research associate at the University of Maryland Center for International and Security Studies, and former director of the United Nations Institute for Disarmament Research in Geneva, wonders whether the Air Force and the Department of Defense will accelerate the fielding of new military space capabilities necessary to ensure U.S. technological and military advantages in space, as congressionally mandated in the 2020 National Defense Authorization Act. In response to this act, the Space Development Agency was moved to the Space Force. Hitchens says that the DoD is implementing these changes slowly to make Congress back off. Hitchens also wonders whether other military branches will contribute personnel to the Space Force, or are we talking simply about a renaming of Air Force Space Command where nothing changes except the uniforms and patches, wasting taxpayer dollars? Laura Grego, a senior scientist in the Global Security Program of the Union of Concerned Scientists in Cambridge, Massachusetts, thinks it may be easy to dismiss the Space Force as a vanity project because of the name. Grego thinks that the Space Force may prompt a space arms race that would threaten satellites, not protect them. It organizes military space around deterring and responding to aggression. Therefore, there is a bureaucratic incentive to hype the threat and then build weapons to counter that threat. Grego notes, there is no commensurate effort from the State Department to shape the space environment to be more stable and peaceful, which would certainly benefit both military and civil space users. Mark Gubrid, a physicist and adjunct professor in peace, war, and defense at the University of North Carolina, says, "The existence of a space force implies the potential use of force in space. That is, having space weapons. Everybody assumes that a space force is going to be an armed force, defending future asteroid mining operations, moon bases, and sundry fantasies. The U.S., China, and Russia have been drifting toward a space arms race because even unarmed satellites participate in military surveillance, targeting, communications, and other warfighting functions. Gubrid asks, will we continue this course toward destabilization and nuclear war? Or will we renew our pursuit of arms control, disarmament, and the vision of a world free from this terrible danger? Peter Martinez, executive director of the Colorado-based Secure World Foundation, focuses on the underlying factors in the Space Force as they pertain to the stability of the space environment and safety and sustainability of space activities. Space is already a domain dominated by civilian and commercial actors, Martinez said. So the new space race is really among civilian commercial rivals to access an increasingly congested and contested domain. Martinez notes the proliferation of counterspace activities. This leads to a narrative of the inevitability of armed conflict in outer space that could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Space Force debate was initially about whether to establish the new branch at all, Martinez said. Now that it is established, the debate is about what such a Space Force will look like. To date, what we have seen is mostly a reorganization of already existing activities with nothing fundamentally new or additional. It remains to be seen how this Space Force will develop in future and what its rules of engagement will be, says Martinez. We would much prefer to see space preserved as a domain for peaceful use and exploration for the benefit of all nations. But this will only happen if these developments are complemented by diplomatic efforts to communicate these messages to the international community to avoid mistrust based on misperceptions and misunderstandings of U.S. intentions in outer space.
This has been an Exo News Bulletin with Chief Editor Duke Brickhouse. Visit our website at exonews.org. Subscribe to this podcast. Exo News is sponsored by the Exopolitics Institute, a U.S.-based 501c3 nonprofit educational organization